Good afternoon, and welcome to Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton, and I am joined by the infamous Mugsy Faye.
That's me! Hey, Kenna, so happy to have you.
Yay.
I know this is our second month having you back, or third month?
Maybe even third.
It might even be third, but it still feels like, oh my God, where have you been? So really happy to have you back, and
Thank you, listeners,
and happy June, happy Pride Month.
Yeah, happy Pride. Yeah, I've been feeling just so, like, refreshed with all my stuff here at Katie and Kay, which is really nice, like making my playlists like ahead of time, which I've never done before, but just getting like so into music and stuff that I have been sort of not into. Sometimes, you know, music can be a little too emotional. Anyway, well, it's been really fun.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm glad. I mean, I know it wasn't like really planned or intentional, but I'm glad that, you know, it was a big chunk of time you were gone, and I'm glad you come back feeling like really refreshed and rejuvenated, because that's what the hope is that everyone has after a break, which is a perfect segue to, I was going to let you and the listeners know that I want to be fully transparent that today, as of this recording, is my first day back in town after 9 days of being out of the state.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not like super in the loop as to what's going on, but I do have a couple exciting kind of event updates and legislative updates for y'all today, but I'm still slowly coming back to reality myself and
back to life,
back to reality, which is such a painful process.
Yeah. Ugh.
Especially as people keep talking to me about the news. I'm like, oh my God, I was loving my vacation. And I'll tell you, we did 9 days, really jam-packed road trip, trying to visit all of our family all across California. But we started the trip in pretty much like an area with no service. And that was really nice, because then for the rest of the trip, we were kind of conditioned to like not be on our phones and not like reach for the remote control or anything.
Yeah.
So that's what I look for in a vacation, is like a very literal unplug, like some time away from screen times. And so the return to reality can be a little harsh for me. So
yeah,
I'm still
like
slipping back
whiplash
into it. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's the only way though that you can continue to do the work that you do, and then also be able to continue to stay informed. I constantly am trying to find that balance. Like, I kind of am, I'm really bad about immersing myself and then completely taking a step back and not listening to anything at all and having zero idea of what's going on. So just still trying to find that balance of knowing what's happening and so anyway.
Yeah, I think I did a little bit better of a time on this trip, because it's, you know, it's important to take time away from work, but I also want to make it like manageable for me when I return, because there have been times in the past where it's taken me like 6 months to make up for the week I took off. Trying to be a little, but I actually wanted to share with you, because I thought this was really beautiful, this text that my dad sent me this morning, and it says, take some time today to reflect and breathe. You just did the most important thing I believe one needs to do in order to stay in the valley. Leave it for at least a week. So I just thought that was really great, and just appreciate my father's wonderful mental health oriented advice.
Yeah, totally. I definitely feel that. It was funny when I was away in Denver. I was like, this is, I think, almost the longest I've ever been away from the valley, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But It is a place you gotta leave, and but I just love it, and like there are so many things that have changed, but it's like I don't really care. It's like, yeah, that's just gonna happen. That's life and reality, and it's so incredible.
Yeah, and that was nice, because today I
just don't want anyone else to know.
Oh, yeah. I found a camping spot, and this guy out in Utah, I won't tell you where, because this guy was like, yeah, it used to be a really well-kept secret. And afterwards, I was like, was that kind of like a backhanded insult to me? Like, he's like, we're trying to protect our campsite. But I told him, I was like, I won't tell anybody about it, but I'll be back. But it was nice. We actually had to drive up Valley last night to drop off our rental car. But then today, I had to drive up Valley again. And, you know, it's we're pre-recording, and so it's kind of rainy out today, mm-hmm. and super green and beautiful, just very beginning of summer. Also great time to travel across the Southwest because everything is so green and wet where mm-hmm. it normally isn't. I even got to see some rainstorms in the Mojave, which is super mm-hmm. rare and a little yeah. scary. but it was super, it was really nice, you know, instead of just like getting right back into the grind of 9 to 5 office work or being back in like office buildings. I got to drive up Valley today and be like, oh my God, yes, I saw some beautiful things and had a wonderful time, but I'm so grateful for where we live. But to yeah. my dad's point, you know, we are very isolated. We are in a bubble. And so mm-hmm. it is, I think, important to get out and not just to be reminded that, you know, talking about back to reality, that there is like a greater real world still happening out there. It was also, I will admit, it was nice to me to be like, see, look, things are still happening. Agriculture yeah. is still going on. I mean, I feel like I was going to make a like we're not on fire yet reference, and I meant that politically, and I think that that's like not a safe joke yeah. to tell.
No,
in the West,
not in California or Colorado.
No, and of course we did actually see my boyfriend's family lives in a neighborhood that was really decimated by the fires, so we did see a lot of that. But my point is like people are still out there, mm-hmm. people are still super friendly everywhere that we went, you know. So the real world is still out there happening, but also just to feel gratitude for the place that we live, which it can wear on you sometimes being here too. So it's nice yeah. to get out and see some different skies and then come back to this gorgeous sky.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that just sort of just reminds me just of the like staying informed or and whatever. But just my sister sent me a reel of this woman just saying like just talking about not panicking because it feels like a lot is happening, but because we actually know about it, it is a really good sign. You know, like we know, like there are more people, I think, that don't agree with hatred mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. people who do.
Yeah.
And that's just like, that is a blanket statement that I feel comfortable saying just about humanity in general that I do. Which is strange. I don't know if I ever would have thought I would ever think this, but I do in my heart trust that majority of people actually have, you know, good intent.
Yeah.
In everything in most of the time at least. And it's, you know, it's a desperation thing and a being beat down thing that people do horrible things. It's not that they were born horrible. Very few people, I think, actually are horrible people.
Yeah, well, and it goes back to that conversation of like, you know, to kind of compare it to the person who uses drugs, who steals to support their habit or their mm-hmm. family or whatever, right? Like these choices are rooted in opportunities, and that same person very likely didn't have the same opportunities.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did and they weren't taught the value of, you know, money and material possessions or whatever. But yeah, to your point, I definitely think it happens, but I think it's extremely rare that people make choices like voting to hurt other people,
yeah.
right? Like they don't do it. I mean, some people do. And mm-hmm. I think we also have like a lot of trolls out there who don't care and are just like, well, I'm just going to side with this because I think it's funny how angry it makes other people.
Yeah.
Which is sad because I think those people have some stuff that they could be working out. But, you know, some people want to be angry. Some people want to be sad. I want everyone to be happy. But I come from a place of being stuck in that cycle. It's like really hard. You know, addiction to stress is a real thing. And
definitely.
We all get stuck in these patterns. But yeah, I think people make choices specifically voting because they think it's what's best for them
mm-hmm.
and their families, right? Not because they want to hurt the other person, but because they think it's going to be best for them. And, you know, all politicians kind of lie on the campaign
yeah,
trail.
Totally.
So that's hard too because you're, and now, of course, I won't even get into the way media is controlled right now, but, you know, people are making even educated decisions, but they're not based in like reality.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, yeah, yeah, totally. And I just think it is important to, yeah, take a step back and just always remember that, yeah, there are very few Jeffrey Dahmers in the world. Hopefully there aren't any right now. But no, I think in general, yeah, it's a more of a situation, like we were kind of talking about, like people's circumstances more so than hatred or evil, I guess. Yeah. Maybe hatred. But that's because, it becomes an addiction. All of it does, you know, whether it's stress or drama or just, wanting to make other people angry. And it's one of those things where it's like, if that person, like if we take a step back and say, oh, okay, they just are hurting, so they want to hurt other people. Then if they were to take a step back, then they would realize, oh, I don't actually want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you just because it's funny. Like if I were to actually know how much it truly hurts you, I think that they sort of think that we're all just sort of, you know. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Never mind. I don't even know where my train of thought was going, and it was about to get very. A lot more blanket statements that I don't necessarily want to say. So anyway, go forward with kindness.
Yeah. And the reality is there are hateful people out there. There are really scary things happening across our country and across the world. But those people are the minority, you know. And I won't get into.
And it's also the separation thing, too. I just want to like throw that out there. That's one thing that I was kind of thinking is this, you know, the separation of being a troll on the Internet. Like if you were to actually be face to face with that person, you probably wouldn't actually say that stuff. And then. Again, like with the war and any kind of war and any kind of mass killing, there is a separation there that like the people who are some of the people who are actually doing the killing aren't there doing it. So it's just a disconnect that I think is very prevalent in this world that we have right now.
And there's always been propaganda out there that tries to separate and that tries to dehumanize the quote-unquote enemy, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's in an actual war or in a crazy political climate or whatever the case may be. And so, I encourage folks. Granted, I feel like anyone listening is probably already on board for this. But, you know, just choose love. Choose kindness. Choose understanding. And, you know, we were talking earlier, too, just like understanding that we don't all have the same perspectives. And for some reason, I remember a long time ago that being like a real change point for me is like I couldn't understand where somebody was coming from. And then the realization that like, I can't understand where they're coming from, but that doesn't mean I can't respect their feelings and their wishes, right? Just because it doesn't make sense to me, that doesn't matter because I'm going to have boundaries and wishes and desires that don't make sense to other people, but I still want them to be respected, you know?
Yeah. And it is so hard. And it's really hard too, especially like, again, with that disconnect thing, it's like I'm sitting here in Carbondale, Colorado, and my life has been minimally affected by a lot of whatever chaos is happening in the country. So it is like easy for me to say like, be kind because I'm not actually being as affected as some people who are actually being affected by the hatred that is being spewed out there. So I just want to say that like, I understand how hard it can be to have compassion and to even say like, how can you say that those people didn't, you know, haven't hurt people with their vote? But anyway, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to actually grab onto something that you just said and kind of take it in a little bit of a different direction here, because I do want to, especially to our amazing Katie and Kay listeners, I just want to acknowledge some of the biggest ways that we are being affected by the current federal landscape. Of course, there's a lot of fear and concern for our immigrant neighbors, whether they're documented, undocumented, like doesn't really seem to matter right now, right? So I do encourage folks to read up, and specifically one little tidbit that's super easy that a lot of people seem to not know is do not ever open your door or let an officer into your house without a warrant. It doesn't matter who you are. They have to have a warrant to come in, and you don't even have to open the door for them unless they can present you with a warrant that's signed by a judge. So, you know, we can do what we can to protect each other, keep each other safe, help our neighbors feel safe, because I think that's the scariest thing for us in a county of 20. Oh, sorry, I'm playing footsie with you. In a county of 25% documented Spanish-speaking population, I'm really concerned about our friends and neighbors and family members, and it doesn't seem to really like matter at all what your actual status is, right? So, of course, we're being affected by that. I also have to say, because I said this to a group of people the other day. And I know our law enforcement has taken certain stances that, like, law enforcement, like, local law enforcement can't cite people for federal crimes like immigration, but they can contract to work with ICE. So don't trust anyone.
Even in sanctuary cities and towns. Yes. I thought, because I was kind of like, I was listening to something about it and I was like, yeah, but Carbondale's a sanctuary city. But even in sanctuary cities, the local police could, not saying that I don't know what is going on here in Carbondale specifically, but even in sanctuary towns and cities, the police can contract with ICE. So anyway.
Yeah, and there's different levels of contracting. So there's different like kind of things that if local law enforcement departments choose to partner with ICE, they can kind of have different rates of or like levels of what they can do on ICE's behalf, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I feel grateful that we live in a community where, you know, our law enforcement is a little bit more trusted, but I would say still don't trust anyone if you are concerned about deportation for any reason, because it is a very scary landscape out there and you just kind of never know. And I mean, coming again from an immigrant family, like I don't trust any of them. So, mm-hmm. I do. I love you, Kirk. I do and I don't. I do and I don't. You know? So it's hard.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. But I was just grateful that I was made aware of that because I didn't want to be putting out the wrong information. And I think it's just another example of, like, there's no black and white. There's a lot of gray in the middle. So you just never know. I heard that Glenwood Springs Police put out a notice that they would not be working with ICE. I, of course, trust Carbondale and Aspen Police to protect our community members. But you just never know. And you never know what pressure is put on them. I mean, and for the record, too, that's how the federal government has always operated. They put pressure on states. And if the states don't do what they say, they withhold funding, right? Mm-hmm. So, darn it, that just reminded me of something else I was going to bring up, and then I forgot what it was, so it's probably not important. But I wanted to...
Or it's all very important, but if we can't, we don't have the time.
It's true. We can't fit it all in here. But I wanted to mention that also one of the biggest ways that we locally here in Carbondale at KDNK are really being affected by the federal government is the threat to rescind CPB funding.
Yeah.
So President Trump has requested that Congress rescind funding that has already been approved for the 2026 and 2027 years, which would directly infect KDNK and all other local radio and, you know, radio like NPR, our ability to operate. We are kind of first on the chopping block as, you know, targeted for being just liberal media outlets, quote, in air quotes. And so if you are passionate about community radio, whether it's KDNK or NPR or your local radio station, wherever you are, I strongly encourage you to reach out to your state representatives and ask them to protect CPB funding, to protect community broadcasting and radio. Here in Colorado, you can call or email Michael Bennett, John Hickenlooper, and Jeff Hurd. If you are a KDNK member, check your email inbox for an email from Megan about that. And if you are not a KDNK member, feel free to go to kdnk.org to learn more so we can protect shows like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did just hear an interview with the executive director of NPR, and she was just saying that, you know, NPR is, you know, affected by the CPB, but she just reiterated that it's our small member stations, their small member stations like KDNK, like Aspen Public Radio, that are the ones who are affected. We're the ones who are affected because, and I know for a fact from working here at KDNK, CPB is a huge part of our budget. Like she said, like the percentage that it was for NPR was, like she said, it wasn't going to affect them, but for us it is a huge percentage, and it would affect KDNK.
Yeah,
it's hugely.
It's a huge chunk of our budget. Sorry.
So yeah, no, it's okay. It's just it's very important, and that and it is. It's not even just these small radio stations. It is also PBS, and that is some really important programming for children and just all people in general. And so just it's really important. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I know NPR is in a lawsuit right now about that.
Yeah, and it's still unclear what's actually happening with that, but strongly encourage folks to reach out to your state representatives. And also, if you feel like, you know, donating to KDNK at kdnk.org, we need every little bit we can get. Every little thing helps. Our lowest membership is $6 a month at the cassette tape level, but seriously, I'm not joking when I say, like, if you want to go donate a dollar online and cover your costs, like, every little bit helps us be prepared for the potentiality to lose our community public broadcasting funding. Knock on wood, I hope it doesn't happen, but we are really going to be grasping at straws if it does.
Yeah, and I just, like, not to, like, obviously we're not trying to fearmonger here, but it is every year or, you know, every however many years, they do bring up, you know, whether or not Congress is going to give mm-hmm. the money to CPB, and they always, you know, have reasons as to why not. It's just one of those things that, like, of course, it has to be evaluated. Like, anything that our federal government spends money on, it has to be evaluated. It's great. This is a different type of situation. This is not an every year type of situation. This is it's serious, and it is actually being threatened, and it's terrifying. So anyway.
Yeah, and this money was already appropriated by Congress. It's already in our budget for 2025 and 2026. And so if we lose this, I mean, we have things we're going to do, right? But it's a huge issue. But that did remind me of the thing that I keep wanting to say that I keep forgetting, and it's the opposite of fear-mongering.
Yeah.
So it's a little kind of more Pollyanna, overly positive, because I don't want to deny that this is an unprecedented presidency, that there is some terrifying stuff going on, that democracy is seriously under threat. But I will say that it has been helping my mental health quite a bit. I have been watching, like, old Saturday Night Live episodes from 2006, 2007, and watching – I always love Weekend Update. The news is, like, my favorite part about it.
Uh-huh.
And rewatching these episodes from the George W. Bush presidency.
Awesome.
And it was interesting because, you know, they just released those first quarter numbers of, like, Trump's approval ratings for this term and his last presidential term. And George W. Bush was actually had lower approval ratings than President Trump does now. Yeah, which was pretty wild to think about. We were also actively in a war, which I don't know if you can call bombing the crap out of another country with very few resources, a war even. But, you know, we were in the war with Iraq and Afghanistan, and people were really not supportive of that. And it just was a little, like, humbling for me to realize that whatever side you're on, whenever there is a president that is not your person, it does feel like the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And we have a tendency as a culture to be very, like, apocalyptic and very, like, the end is near. And I'm really grateful for the people in my life who have taught me that, like, the end's probably not as near as you would like it to be, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And I know it's really hard to know what's going to happen, but I think just putting that into perspective of, like, what were we saying the last time we had a Republican president? Because I remember when we were in high school being really worried that George W. Bush was going to try for a third term and, like, declare the state of emergency because of the war. Granted, I don't think he was somebody who was really stoked to be there in the first place.
Yeah.
But it just gives a little bit more healthy perspective to look at this from a wider historical lens. Mm-hmm. I still think what's happening right now in the federal government is terrifying and going to have really long-term repercussions in the negative. But I don't think that it's going to be the end. I hope that it won't be the end of the world. Let's say that. I'm trying to stay positively optimistic. And as far as democracy being destroyed, our democracy is not super strong anyway, because only about 35% of people will even vote in presidential elections. So if you really care about democracy, get out and vote, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot to chew on.
You know. Yeah. I don't know if I have anything to add, but it definitely, yeah. It's, I like that perspective, though. And it always, you know, it's funny to look back at how terrified we were about Bush, especially when it's like, yeah, he wasn't somebody who necessarily wanted to be there, as opposed to the person who's there now seems like they'll claw and do whatever they need to. But,
well, I don't want to give him any more reasons to take away our CPP funding.
Yeah.
But I will just say, I think just kind of rounding it back out, like, just, you know, choose kindness regardless of the politicians. Like, your neighbor is your neighbor, your coworker is your coworker, the person at the grocery store. Like, we're all human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful for all the great interactions I've been able to have with people recently who maybe we don't sit on the same side of the aisle, but we can reach across and shake hands when we need to, you know?
Yeah, well, and I think, again, it just kind of comes back again to that connection piece, connection.
Bing.
But that just, when you have, and proximity, that's something that I was hearing on one of my podcasts earlier, but that, you know, the proximity to people helps humanize them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's like, kind of just that theory about will and grace being one of the catalysts to the, you know, gay marriage being legal. You know, like it normalized it. It wasn't like, oh, every gay person is in a crisis because that's all we ever see on TV. It's like, oh, no, just normal people like you and me. Or maybe you.
And it's funny the way that we tend to project our values onto other people. Like, oh, I like you, so you must be like me. Well, maybe you're not like me, but we can still like each other.
Right? Or maybe you are like me and I don't like you. And that's also okay.
Yes.
You know, I think that's another big thing is it's like it's okay to disagree and not like people. It doesn't mean that they need to have ill will.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you need to act any differently towards them. You know what I mean? Like you can still work together and accomplish things. Okay.
So we're going to wrap it up.
Yes. So I did just want to make a couple quick announcements. So sorry, I probably don't have time to talk about this one, but I did see in my emails this morning that on May 29th of this year, Governor Polis signed a thing putting regulation on kratom. I know I've talked about kratom on this show before. It is an opiate. It can lead to overdoses. They are finally putting regulations on it in the state of Colorado. So now you have to be 21 plus to buy it. Maybe we can talk about that in the July episode more. But if you ever have any questions about any of this stuff, you can reach out to me at maggie@highrockiesharmreduction.com or find my contact info at highrockiesharmreduction.com, where you will also find our full service schedule for harm reduction services across the valley and beyond. And just wanted to make a shout out that I know I started the episode saying it is June, it is Pride Month. This episode is coming to you after First Friday and the Carbondale Pride and the Glenwood and Leadville Prides on Saturday the 7th. But there is still Avon Pride happening on Saturday the 14th. Of course, Denver Pride will be going off celebrating and commemorating the Stonewall. I saw a guy the other day. He said it wasn't a riot. It was a rebellion.
Woohoo!
Love that. So the Stonewall Rebellion. So that's the weekend of Friday the 27th, 28th, and 29th. And here locally on Saturday, June 21st, we will be hosting a queer prom over at The Garage, which is a little part of Carbondale Beer Works that they have over by Thunder River Market and like the Habitat Restore in between Carbondale and Glenwood. So keep your ears out and follow the Roaring Divas on Instagram, Facebook, and all the places to hear more about the queer prom they will be hosting at The Garage on the night of June 21st.
Awesome. We'll be on next month at 4 o'clock.
You got it.
4 o'clock on July 14th. So, yes, happy Pride. And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean.
Yay.
I love you so much. Shout out to the Cali fam. Great to see you. Thanks for listening.
We are living.